Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this glorious Goodwood postcast. We're previewing day two, of course. The feature on day two is the Sussex Stakes. It gets the opportunity for the younger generation to take on their elders over a mile, but we'll get into that a little bit later on. Fingers crossed all our bets go okay today, but let's talk about the first race tomorrow, and that's at 1:50. It's the Unibet Goodwood Handicap. Over 2 miles, 4.5 furlongs. Now, we'll remember that Lil Rockefeller absolutely bolted up in this last year, now £17 higher. Darren, is there market confidence behind him this time?
He is our favourite, Maddie. I just want to say we are for 5 places on this race tomorrow. He is our favourite. He's 9-2. Dubawi 50 then is 5-1. True Destiny is 6s. Timoshenko for Mark Prescott is 7-1. The Cashelman is 8s. The Grand Vizier is 10s and it is 12s bar.
Okay, Keels, I mean, it's a whole different kettle of fish this time around, but do you think he can do it, or are you willing to take him on?
I mean, yeah, I'd love to see him do it because he's a bit of a favourite of mine, but, you know, he's £17 high. It's a much better race than it was last year as well. That's the other thing you've got to worry about. So the one thing he's got in his favour is he truly, truly stays 2 mile, 4.5 furlongs. Not many of the horses in the race will do so. So he's got a chance, but there are ones at bigger prices than me. I don't really understand why the Grand Vizier is nearly twice the price, having won the Ascot Stakes. He really stayed on strongly that day, and 2 mile didn't look fast enough for him last time at Newbury. So I think he's got a massive shout, and won at a much, much bigger price. Trained by Nigel Twiston Davies, who had the winner a few years ago and a third a couple of years ago, had his motorbike. Now he's returned from 2 years off to win over a mile 6 at Goodwood in June. And then literally only 8 days later, he ran into Queen Alexandra. And he might have only finished 5th. But the four horses have finished ahead of him, were all rated at least £15 better.
Yeah, exactly.
Him.
Maybe you get a bit of value about him. Nigel Twiston Davies, he loves targeting this race with the horses that he has, doesn't he? G-Rod, what do you think? It's one of those funny races because they don't start from stalls, do they? And they go back on themselves and...
Yeah, and it's little Rockefeller's going to go and make it a war, isn't he, again? You would have thought under Silvestro, he's just going to blast off like he did last year. They didn't see which way he went, did they? 15 lengths. But yeah, £17 higher this year. As Keel says, stronger race. And I'm not convinced that he comes into it in quite the same sort of form that he was in the previous season. Certainly, he was running better over hurdles last year coming into the race than he had been this time around. I'm quite keen to take him on with the Grand Vizier, who Kills has already mentioned. Very impressive when winning the Ascot, really stayed on powerfully, thought he relished the extra distance. And yeah, last time out at Newbury, ran perfectly well.
It's a good race that, wasn't it? I thought that Marsh Cup, good prize money and always attracts a solid field.
Yeah, Withhold bolted up really, didn't he? But, you know, I mean, he's a group class stayer, isn't he? And I don't think the Grand Vizier would have found that enough of a test of stamina either, just like Keel said. So I'm singing from the same hymn sheet, the Grand Vizier.
Yeah, okay, Darren. So we're sort of looking at really, really strong stayers. Who takes your eye?
I like the lads. I'll join them in saying I'm against Little Rockefeller this time around. Just the fact that he is £17 higher, it is a harder race. And even in terms of him making all like he did last year, I think they're going to be very wise to the fact that that's what he's going to try and do. Whereas last year, maybe they were caught unawares that they weren't entirely sure what was going to happen. The one I came down on was Zubair for Ian Williams, another Ian Williams horse. He's not that long with Ian. He was with Paul Nicholls there for a while, but he's very unexposed on the turf. He's actually only had three turf starts on the flat. Obviously, he's run over hurdles, but on the flat, he's only had 3 starts on turf, and they were all only over a mile and a half. I would say a mark of 85 is well within his range, given his exploits on the all-weather. And you'd have to imagine he could be a couple of pounds better on turf as well. Some of his back form on the flat is very, very good. And, you know, I think off a nice racing weight here of 8-4, he could go very close.
Okay, interesting then. Zubair for Darren. The 2:25 is the Unibet handicap over a mile and a half. Now, I looked at this race and it's the sort of race I really, really like. Loads of unexposed, promising horses, all chucked in at the same sort of stage in their careers. Which one's going to come out on top? Darren, I'll go to you first for the betting and your selection.
Sure thing, Maddie. Yeah, so again, we're an extra place in this race. We're paying 4 places here. Sir Ron Priestley is our 5-1 favourite. Ladon V is 7-1. Durston is 15-2. Desert Icon is 8. Kosciuszko for Frankie and John Gosden, I think I might be saying that right, he's 8-1 as well. Mind the Crack is 9s. Future Investment is 9s. And it is 10s bar.
Okay. Take it away.
Sir Ron Priestley, he's a worthy favourite here, but I can't see him having a whole pile in hand. And I think the 12 furlongs around here might be just sharp enough for him, considering like he won over a mile and six the last day up in Hamilton. Like, Goodwood is a plenty sharp track. The one I came down on was 3 Comets for Roger Varian and Andrea Azzini. Some very, very interesting back form last year behind the likes of, he wasn't beaten far by the likes of Manuela de Vega and Persian Moon, who he reopposes here. His comeback run wasn't great, but he's been gelded since. And his runs last year were all over a mile. I think he's bred to improve for a trip like this. And, you know, just the price that he is in an open race, he's 20-1 with us. I thought he was worth a flyer.
Okay, got some value there then. G-Rod, I looked at this race. I quite like the Epsom winner, Ladon de V. That form, you could argue, some of it has worked out, some of it hasn't. Won't necessarily be the biggest price in the world, but he was the one who caught my eye. Which horse are you interested in?
Yeah, there's a lot of exciting, potentially useful horses in this. I thought it was quite a good race.
Yeah.
And I'm not too concerned about the drop in trip for Sir Ron Priestley, because I had a quick look through and I think there's a lot of pace in this race.
I thought that, yeah.
I think there's a lot of horses that are going to go forward, and it's going to be run at a real strong gallop, and that might bring Sir Ron Priestley's stamina into play. And they were really strong in the market on him last time when he won at Haydock. That was a race in which I think Mark Johnson saddled 4 out of 7 runners. Mm. And the only one that the punters wanted to know was Sir Ron Priestley. He was really heavily punted, went off 15-8 favourite. And although it took him a while to get past Mind the Crack, well, once he did it, he was only hands and heels near the line. I thought he won that race with plenty in hand. And he just reminds me of the sort of 3-year-old handicapper with which Mark Johnston wins these sort of races at Glorious Goodwood. I can see him laying up nicely with the pace just behind a few front runners, striking home nice and early in the straight. And then it's going to take a very good one to run him down. So it's Sir Ron Priestley for me.
Okay, nice and straightforward. Keels, Mark Johnson, he does so well at this meeting. Why is that? Is that because his horses are really fit and they often go forward on a downhill track?
It might be. The thing is, I mean, he does target the meeting. I mean, I think he's had 78 winners there overall, which is just too short of Sir Michael Stout. And he's apparently very keen to get ahead. So, and, you know, he has all these 3-year-old handicappers that he's not afraid to run, and they do seem to thrive on racing. The only time Sir Ron Priestley's been beaten this season was at Royal Ascot when the ground was on the easy side. So you probably want to look out and see what happens this afternoon, because obviously they're due a fair bit of rain, aren't they? It's absolutely lashing outside my window. Now, I'm still about 40 mile away, mine. So we'll have to wait and see there. The one I came down on was the Gosden one, a really lightly raced Kosciuszko.
He's been a bit of a drifter, hasn't he?
He has been a bit of a drifter, but, you know, I don't know why. I thought that was a hugely promising run on his return. Up to 1 mile, 2 furlong for the first time. He was incredibly weak in the market, but he put his head down. He looked like being a real, real threat 2 furlongs out, and he just sort of plugged on to one pace in the end. For me, that just looked as though it was a race that was badly needed. He's going to absolutely relish going up to 1.5 miles. The dam stayed 1.5 miles. And I think a mark of 91, he could be very, very interesting.
Yeah, if he's drifting, that just means he's going to shorten now you've put him up anyway. Bigger price, more money. So that's interesting. Darren, just talk us through. Do you think there could be any movers? I know you've said you're fancy, but this race, I think it could produce a really useful, or at least a couple of useful types.
Yeah, absolutely. Kosciuszko was the one I was initially going to tip when I looked at the race this morning, but just his form of his novice win last year was just enough to put me off that. You know, there's no real good horse came out of that, and well, he could probably improve for both trip and his first run of the year. It was just enough to put me off. But he's the least exposed one in the field. I'd say he's the one. If there could be a star in here, it is potentially going to be him. Maybe Eminence down there for Aidan O'Brien. Like, he's lethal in handicaps, Aidan O'Brien. I think if you were to have a pound on every horse he runs in a handicap, you'd be up a significant amount of money. I don't know if there's an out-and-out star in here, but I think one thing I can say is the market will be very informative tomorrow morning. If you see money coming for something, you can probably take that as a given it's going to run well.
There you go. That's very interesting, man. And especially talking up eminence, he's definitely one to take a look at for Aidan O'Brien. We'll move on to the 3 o'clock, which is the Markel Insurance Malcolm Stakes, a Group 3 over the 5 furlongs for the juveniles. And Liberty Beach, she your favourite, Darren?
She is indeed, Maddie, yeah. But we are money back on all losers if Liberty Beach wins the race, up to a maximum of €10 per customer. She's our 7-4 favourite. Maven then for Wesley Board and Frankie is 9-4. Air Force Jet is 8-1. Hand of My Heart is 10s. Rahi is 12s. Dr. Simpson is 12s. And it is 16s and bigger the rest.
Okay, Keels, I'll go to you first. I mean, I was manning the Q&A that you did, and I sort of said, looked at this race, and I thought Liberty Beach would be really tough to beat with the colts trying to give her the weight.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, I think one of the bigger dangers might actually be another filly down the bottom. But no, you can't knock the claims of Liberty Beach at all. She was really impressive at Sandown. I was there that day. The only time she's been beaten was when she won her side at Ascot. And I think she would have
gone very close if she was drawn in the right place, wouldn't she?
Almost certainly, yeah. So I think she's pretty decent. She's very much the one to beat. Maven. I don't really rate that form in France, to be honest, and I was surprised that he was favourite early on in the week. He's got to give her £6, which is enough. That's the sex allowance plus a £3 penalty. One who does interest me a little bit is Clive Cox, who's booked Ryan Moore for Hand on My Heart. Now, she beat 4 horses with previous experience, two that were rated in the 80s at Windsor on a debut last month. And although it's quite a big task coming back, Hand of My Heart's half sister, Heartache, won the Queen Mary on her second start. So she's obviously from a good and speedy family. And I think she's quite an interesting in each way bet.
Okay. So Hand of My Heart, then, the one for Keels. As much as he thinks Liberty Beach is pretty solid, where do you stand on the Malcolm?
Yeah, I backed Liberty Beach at Ascot and was a little bit disappointed not to be picking up the win money. And she was mightily impressive at Sandown, no doubt about that.
Queen Mary's worked out well, hasn't it? Of course, with raffle prize winning again.
Yeah, absolutely. That won nicely at Newmarket. She will be very hard to beat, but she just, to me, has the look of a favourite that he's going to lose.
Why is that?
I can't really tell you why. I just look at her and I just think she's a short price and... I don't know, maybe it's because it's John Quinn and Jason Hitman Hart and not Aidan Ryan or someone like that. I just have a feeling that she's a short price because she runs amazing times and those sorts of horses tend to get beat when they're short prices, as we saw with Vizinari at Newmarket a couple of starts ago. I just have a gut feeling about it, and usually when I get a gut feeling about these horses, I'm usually right. So
we'll see.
That's my explanation as to why I think she'll get beat. And there's two that I fancy against her. One is Hand on My Heart, and Keels has already stolen my thunder there. Ryan Moore's got a 30% strike rate for Clive Cox in recent seasons when they team up. Moore wouldn't be riding her unless she was pretty useful. Cox is running positive in the vintage, who he rates as one of his best. I suspect that this one must be high up in the pecking order. And Goodwood, he obviously runs his better juveniles at the track. She was impressive when winning first time out at Windsor, beating horses that had more experience than her. She's related to Heartache, who won a Queen Mary on her second start. So Hand on My Heart could well make a big jump from that first run. And the other one worth mentioning is Aussie Showstopper.
Right.
At a massive price for Richard Hughes. Yeah. Richard Hughes is going to be desperate for a winner at Glorious Goodwood, obviously. He used to love riding winners around here. This one finished behind Liberty Beach last time out, but ran a really interesting race, veered massively left as they opened the stalls, gave away any amount of ground, then came to the inside rail because she was so far behind and was making ground hand over fist in the last couple of furlongs when finding a path blocked everywhere she went. And then she flew home to finish right on the heels of the fifth. I thought it was quite an eye-catching run from Aussie Showstopper. Her debut, she was smartly away and made most of the running look pretty speedy over 6 furlongs, was losing her advantage right near the line. So I think this trip on a downhill track will suit her. And she's drawn towards the standside rail, which for a horse who went miles left last time out, coming out the stalls, will help her because she is not going to have that far to go left before she runs into a rail. So
yeah.
I expect Aussie Showstopper to get away on terms, and I could see Aussie Showstopper running well at big price each way. But hand on my heart would be my win bet.
Okay. What price is Aussie Showstopper, Darren?
Aussie Showstopper is 25-1 shot from 50s.
There you go. So money's come already, G-Rod. And Darren, whose side are you on then? I mean, we're sort of respecting Liberty Beach, while me and Kiehl's are anyway, but G-Rod's got a hunch that she's not going to do it.
I respect her as well, but all I would say is all of her form so far has been on fairly stiff or galloping tracks. You know, Beverly's a stiff track, Ascot's a stiff track, Sandown is a stiff enough, Fives is a stiff uphill finish. That I'm open to correction there now, but as far as I know, they're stiff track. Goodwood isn't. It's a fairly sharp-ish track. It's a lot of it is downhill. And I'm not saying she's not good enough to cope with that, but it's the change for her. And I don't like back horses at her sort of price when there's a new conditions to contend with. I thought Maven was a fair enough price at 9-4. Her form with Jolie ties in nicely with Ali, who I think is an absolute weapon. So I think he's a fair enough price at 2-1. There's one at an absolutely enormous price I just thought might run well, purely based on the way the race might be run and the way the track is. And that's Cool Sphere for Robert Cowell. He's Sylvester D'Souza book. He's drawn three. This colt, he's not... I don't know whether he's brilliant or not, but he is an absolute ball of speed. And what he looks to have just done too much too early in every start so far. Like in Ali's race at Ascot, he tried to make all. You're not going to do that at Ascot. Linkfield, he was held up, didn't suit him. That's not his bag at all. And then at Windsor, he tried making all as well and just did a little bit too much too soon. He's just won. He's 50-1 with us. He might get bigger elsewhere. I just thought he might outrun his odds at a massive price.
That's a really interesting shout there. Always worth taking a chance on these juveniles, isn't it? Because some of them can just pop up at bigger prices. We'll move on to the feature now at 3:35. It's the Qatar Sussex Stakes, of course, the Group 1 over the mile. Now, too darn hot. He redeemed himself in France a little bit last time, Darren. He's sort of a punter's pal, hasn't he? I think people want to like him and they want him to win after his juvenile exploits.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, if you're a horse racing fan, you always want there to be another superstar. Too darn hot looked like he was going to be that last year. He ran to a reasonable level this year, but he didn't reach the heights we kind of expected him to reach. So I think, yeah, I think people are going to root for him. He is a short price favourite as well, which probably helps. But he's our 6-5 favourite here. Circus Maximus haven't been supplemented for Aiden, and Ryan Moore is 2-1. Phoenix of Spain is 9-2. Lord Glitters is 10s. The Beal Prince is 16s, and it is 33-1 and bigger the rest.
Okay, Kiehl's, give us your assessment of Too Darn Hot then, because he did win nicely in the Prix Jean Prat back over 7 furlongs last time. I think he's a bit short here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how anybody can argue that he isn't too short. I mean, you know, he's one of those horses. He looked a superstar last year. He's run 4 times this year. He's been beaten 3 times, including in races won by horses that are running against him today, and he's 5-4 because he bounced back to form in what was a glorified Group 3 last time. It might have been called a Group 1, but the second favourite had had the one race of his life in group company and got beat. And that was Space Blues, was obviously second in the Jersey, which is a Group 3. He got beat by Space Traveller. Now, what price would you make Space Traveller to win a race like the Sussex Stakes? None of those horses in the Sussex Stakes couldn't have done what Too Darn Hot did to Space Blues. That's my reading of it. And we're suddenly expected to believe that he's right back when that race just fell into his lap. It was easy. It was weak.
And it was over 7 as well.
I'm not worried about that. I'm not one of those that believes he didn't stay at York. He's just given a bad ride from way off the pace. He made up loads and loads of ground on the eventual winner. So, whether he's tripless or not, I think he's got a range of trips that are fine. I'm not convinced he's the absolute superstar that these odds are making him. I mean, he is, like I said, he's favourite to beat two horses that beat him when they ran against him, Circus Maximus and Phoenix of Spain. And the other thing is, the market is automatically accepting that these three-year-olds are miles better than the older horses.
Yeah.
Now, we all know that the older horses aren't brilliant, and they haven't been for a while. But my reading of it is, if these three-year-olds stay in training next year, they're just going to join the ranks of average older milers. That's the way I'm looking at it. I don't think there's a superstar. So I think I'll be taking them all on, and I'll be backing Lord Glitters, who at 10-1 is a really crazy price each way. He's won the Queen Anne last time. He finished third in the Sussex last year off a slow gallop, didn't get a run.
Should have won it last year, I thought.
Exactly, yeah. And there was not a prayer of them going as slowly as they did last year, because Circus Maximus needs a real test in it. You can bet your life that's why I Can Fly is in there. Phoenix, Spain need probably reasonably hard too. And so I think he's going to have the race runner suit, and each way better. 10-1, Lord Glitters, you're getting 2-1 a place. For me, that's far better than 5-4 a win for Too Darn Hot.
Yeah, totally agree. If you know me at all, you know I'm a big Lord Glitters fan, and although these older horses probably aren't superstars, he won the Queen Anne last time. I personally love this horse, and I think he's real value at 10-1, G-Rod.
Yeah, I like Lord Glitters as a horse, but for me, all of his best form is at Ascot, and I would have to take him on for that reason. To put the opposite case for Too Darn Hot,
are you a pro Too Darn Hotter?
In the same way that I did when he ran at Royal Ascot, John Gosden has had lots of horses just like him in the past who were very, very good two-year-olds. Raven's Pass, Roaring Lion, who I was told was a superstar. And they made very slow starts to their three-year-old career. Raven's Pass was beaten two or three times before he suddenly took off. And the same with Roaring Lion. And I was told before the St. James's Palace that they thought that Too Darn Hot was in a similar mould. He had just taken his time and he would suddenly hit right back to top form in the St. James's Palace at Royal Ascot. Now, it obviously didn't happen.
Mm.
My reading that race was that the ground went against him. He travelled like the best horse through the race. He come to win his race and he just got bogged down on a stiff track in ground that was softer than ideal for him. And he got outstayed by a stronger stayer, mm-hmm. Circus Maximus, who had obviously won over a mile and a bit at Chester on his previous start. So they bring him down to 7 furlongs at Deauville. And he does look like the horse that we saw last season. He does look like he has come back to his best. And it will be interesting to see whether he can now become the Raven's Pass, the Roaring Lion.
Would you be worried if it does rain a lot today?
That is a big concern, I think. If it were to come up really soft, I'm not sure that Too Darn Hot wants it like that. To my eye, his big weapon is speed. And it's obviously going to bring Circus Maximus into it again if the ground does come up soft, with Ryan probably going out and dictating. But I know that there's no lack of confidence behind Too Darn Hot at Gosden's Yard. They still think that Too Darn Hot is an absolute tip-top horse, and they don't get it wrong very often. Sometimes it does take their horses a few starts, especially their top three-year-olds, a few starts to hit their form. And I think that's what they think has happened with Too Darn Hot, and they're expecting him to kick on now and become the top-class Group 1 performer that they all think he is, just like Raven's Pass did, just like Roaring Lion did in the past. The problem, of course, as Kills has already said, is the price. You know, because he's got that huge reputation, you're never going to get a great price about him. And as a punter, it makes him really unappealing from a betting perspective in the race. And for that reason, I'll really just be watching it. If I was going to bet, I would actually back Zabil Prince, who keeps threatening to make up into a Group 1 performer, but is really disappointed on his last couple of starts. But for some reason, again, just a hunch, I can just see him bouncing back to form. And he has got form that suggests he could mix it with it. He's obviously beat Moustachery in a hot race at Newmarket earlier in the season. And Moustachery won the Lock Inch next time. So if I had to play, I would back Zabil Prince, but I'm really hoping and expecting to see Too Darn Hot do the business here nicely.
I'm just not a fan, Darren. He's had too many chances for me, and I'm worried about that race last time. I'm worried about the ground. I'm just a bit pessimistic about him. Maybe that's just me. I didn't buy into him as much as I think a lot of people did when he was a juvenile, so I'm out of his camp. But it will be good to see him. This will be a proper test for him, won't it? So yeah, what's your analysis on him, and how do you think this race could play out? No one's mentioned Phoenix of Spain yet, the Irish Guineas winner.
Too Darn Hot. Like, I think it is possible that he's had excuses for this year, and that he could end up shaping up into the superstar we all thought he would be. It's possible. Is it a 6-5 shot? No, not for me, or a 5-4 shot, or whatever else it is. My analysis of this race is the exact same as Paul's. I cannot believe the price of Lord Glitters. Like, that Queen Anne at Ascot, that's some of the best form in Europe, full stop, this year. Beat the Bank has gone in since, God love me, he's passed since. One Master was chinned in a Group 1. Roman Ice has gone in a Group 2. Lebrevito ran okay in the sprint at Ascot. Larne's won a group one yesterday, pretty much as she liked. Mustache ran okay behind Enable. That is absolutely rock solid form. I think the 3-year-olds are all useless. To be honest with you, I think they're crap. With the possible exception of Too Darn Hot if he does turn it around. Phoenix of Spain, yeah, could go well, but again, I agree with Paul. I think he's going to set it up for Lord Glitters. I know you can say, look, most of Lord Glitters' best form is at Ascot, but he ran a stormer here, I think, in this exact race behind Lightning Spear a couple of years back. He has form at Maidan as well. So these flat tracks, he doesn't necessarily need a stiff track, especially if he gets a pace to aim at. David O'Mara is in great form. Danny Toadhope's the best jockey in the country. Ticks literally every box for me. There's an argument he could be a 9-2 shot here, not a 10-1 shot.
Totally agree, as I've said. But enough of that. We'll take a quick break now before we preview the rest of the card.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this glorious Goodwood postcast. We're looking at day two, and we've been through the first four races on the card. The fifth is the 410. It's the European Breeders' Fund Alice Keppel EBF Fillies Conditions Stakes over the 5 furlongs. Now, some of these we've got quite familiar with them for 2-year-olds, horses like Mighty Spirit. We know where they're at, Darren.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, there's some fairly exposed types in here. Mighty Spirit strikes me as a type of filly that's going to come second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, second, third, and never get her head front. You get fillies like that sometimes. I remember Willie McCreary had one a few years back, Mary Tudor, and on her second start, she was second in a listed race and didn't win her maiden until, you know, start 12 or something like that. Mighty Spirit strikes me as one of those. Flip the strip, it'll probably make the market here. She probably has the best form between the listed race at Sandown and her run at Ascot, but I'm going to give one more chance to daughter-in-law. She's a horse I put up here before. She was with Kieran Cotter over here in Ireland, and she was sold on the Friday night of Ascot, I think it was. And she's now with Roger Charlton. It's her first run for him. She ran no race in Ascot, but I'm willing to write that off. I know for a fact that when Kieran had her here, he thought she was an absolute weapon. She compared very favourably to George Cornelius, who's his good juvenile, who's been off the track since his win at Dundalk. I don't know what kind of price she's going to be, and there is only 7 runners, but I'd give her a chance at a likely decent price here.
Okay, Kiels, what do you think of these fillies?
I totally concur with Darren about Mighty Spirit. I think she's, you know, I have backed her a few times as well, so I'm getting a bit fed up with her. She did run really well in the super sprint, but I'd make Flip of the Strip a favourite. I think she'd be hard to beat. Not a race I'm going to be going overboard on.
Yeah, I looked at this and thought it was a bit tough as well, G-Rod, these juvenile races. It can be tricky sometimes.
Yeah, I actually thought this was pretty straightforward. I quite like the look of this race because, as the boys have already said, I thought Mighty Spirit might head the market, and she's definitely opposable. She's sure to run well without winning. And Flipper the Stripper, obviously got strong form, but she's got to carry a £3 penalty, and I think she might struggle to give the weight to Mrs. Bouquet for Mark Johnston. This one's improving really rapidly and has shown plenty of pace to win on her last two starts. Made all on both occasions. At Catterick, she was always in control that day. And then last time at York, she dropped to 5 furlongs, a speed track like York. So Goodwood won't be an issue. And she showed plenty of pace from the gates to lead them. And they all came to challenge her, and she just turned them away. And she was going away again at the end. I'm not sure she'll lead this field because there's some speedy types in there with Electric Lady Land, I think it's called, and Daughter in Law has shown loads of pace before. But the Electric Lady Land is drawn in stall five. Electric Lady Land is drawn in stall 5. Mrs. Bouquet is drawn in stall 6. I'll be surprised if anything can lead Electric Lady Land because she led the super sprint last time for most of the way, and she's very fast. So I expect Electric Lady Land to be blasting away from stall 5. Mrs. Bouquet will get a nice trail in right behind her, and she stays the trip well, and she's really, really game. I think she's one of the better bets on the card, Mrs. Bouquet.
Moving on to the 4:45, it's the British EBF Premier Fillies Handicap over 1.2 miles. This was a really open race. I thought maybe one of you is going to prove me wrong and you have a really strong fancy. Kiels, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, I haven't got a strong fancy, but I think Bubble and Squeak will be underestimated in the market. The only time she's run really badly was 2 starts ago when that was on the all-weather. She really likes a bit of cut. If they get the they get the rain that I'm getting around here, then she'll run really well. She was fourth last time at Newbury.
You're a big fan of her, aren't you? I think you've put her up a few times.
Yeah, I think she's consistent. I think she wants to step up to 1 mile 2 as well.
Okay, so that will suit Darren, you next.
Yeah, tough race, Matty, especially without prices. The one I come down on was Nehru's for Roger Varian and Andrea Denny. As form in with Okada, who he opposes here. Just think a more conventional track over the 10 furlongs. They step up in triple suit, fairly unexposed as well, and a drop of rain won't do her any harm either.
Okay, so we'll see what those prices are like when they come out later today, G-Rod?
Yeah, I agree with Darren. Nehru's for me. The race that holds the key to it is the Chester race last time when Okada beat Nehru's, although Nehru's was so luckless in that race. She couldn't find a path through the field, was travelling best for a long way out, and powered home to lose out by a faster diminishing margin. She should be capable of reversing that form. I think she's held in quite high regard by Andrea Zeni and Roger Varian.
Okay, connections that have been in great form so far this year. And finally, the 5.55, the new Anne Lingwood handicap, this time over 7 furlongs. Who's going to end day 2 on a high here, Keels?
Hopefully Light and Dark. I think, probably fairly obvious, might be favourite. Absolutely bolted up at Newmarket last time, first time in a handicap. Got a thumping rise for it, but at the same time, just looked miles, miles better than them all. Trained by Sabine Soror, who we know is absolutely flying at the moment, got a near 40% strike rate in the last fortnight. And if Callum Shepherd can get the brakes, I think he'd go really, really close.
Okay, and G-Rod, are you in agreement or are you having a look at something else?
No, I fancy Lyndon B for George Scott, who's booked Frankie Dettori for the ride. That's pretty significant. The only horse that he's ridden for the stable is pretty much that James Garfield, who is obviously not far off top class. And the fact that Dettori is riding Lyndon B is a tip in itself. He's got a good draw in stall four. And I like the way that quickened up nicely to win at Leicester last time out over a mile. The drop back to 7 furlongs shouldn't be a problem. And let's hope that Frankie can finish off with a winner. I'm sure it'll be popular with the crowd if he does.
Yeah, he's been in excellent form, hasn't he? We'll see how he does today. But a jockey clearly that everyone wants to do very well, Frankie. Darren, finally, your last fancy in this 5.55.
Fairly strong fancy here, actually, Matty. Again, it is hard without prices, but the one I came down on was Black Heat for Ed Walker and Liam Connery. Step up the 7 suited perfectly last time at Leicester, and the form has worked out absolutely stunningly. The second has gone in since in a good Newmarket handicap. The third, Admiralty, was third in the Bunbury. The fourth and sixth finished second and third in another decent Newmarket handicap, and the fifth, Monster Noir, has also gone in since. Can't ask for any better than that. Again, I think the step up the 7 here will suit. Relatively unexposed over that distance. Yard and jockey both in form. If you're getting anything in around the 4-5 mark, I'd say that's an absolutely smashing price.
I like that. Maybe you're going to put him up in your naps, of which we'll get on to now.
This will not be beaten.
I'll be cheeky and kick us off in the 3 o'clock. I'm sticking with Liberty Beach, although I hope Lord Glitters, my old pal, runs well in the Sussex Stakes. G-Rod, who's your nap?
Mrs. Bouquet in the 4.10 at Goodwood.
Thank you very much. Paul Keeley.
In terms of value, I'm just going to go for Lord Glitters and the Sussex.
Okay, sweet, short and sweet. And Darren, finally.
I was going to say Lord Glitters. I won't copy Paul. Zubair in the 150, good one.
Okay, so we've spread our tips around. Best of luck with your bets today, tomorrow and for the rest of the glorious Goodwood Festival. And we'll be back to preview day 3 tomorrow.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.